The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at the 44th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue. So that they were astounded and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor, except in their own country and in their own house. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words that I speak and the reflection of all our hearts lead us into the fullness of life in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's lots to mine in our reading this morning. It's very rich in imagery. The Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament portray God as King of the universe, as the fundamental force for good, as the fundamental source of love that is behind all that is and all that will be. The phrase Kingdom of Heaven focuses on God's role in shaping human experience and all the possibilities of transformation that there are that come about through forgiveness and restoration, through justice and mercy and peace. Transformation through love. Jesus invites each and every one of us to participate in the transformative life of the kingdom of heaven. I heard during the week that transformation is about more than inclusion, that transformation is about expansion and making space for all the possibilities that God offers us in Christ. The kingdom of heaven is the focus of Jesus' ministry, and so Jesus tells parables to help people then and now to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. I wonder which parable about the kingdom of heaven resonated most with you this morning as Bruno read. Was it about treasure hidden in a field? Was it about a merchant searching for excellent pearls? Was it about a large fishing net cast into the sea that catches all kinds of fish? In the last week, treasure has been a bit of a buzzword for me. I've encountered it a few times. On Wednesday, I was leading worship with the 3- and 4-year-old children in our Riverwalk Early Learning Centre. When I got to the place in our time together when I asked them what they would like to thank God for, one little girl just looked up and said, "Treasure." So we thanked God for treasure. Then as I was leaving the centre, the children had already gone out to the playground, and as I was walking out, some of them came running up to me, each one holding a plastic egg. "What have you got?" I asked. "Buried treasure," they said, with big smiles. "And look what's inside." They shook their plastic eggs, made a rattling sound. They opened them in half, and inside was not a precious pearl. Rather, it was a plastic button. An ordinary, everyday plastic button. The smiles on their faces told me that this discovery, finding buried treasure in the sandpit, was a very joyful experience that they wanted to share with me. So simple and yet so exciting. Treasure can be like that, capturing our imagination so that the world seems brighter. I wonder, where are you looking for buried treasure? And when you find it, will it be what you really want? I think that sometimes we can be standing right on top of our treasure and not even notice. Or we can be looking for one thing and then suddenly and unexpectedly discover that we were really looking for something else entirely. I wonder, what would you love to find buried, not necessarily in a field or your backyard, but in your life? What would that treasure look like? Could this treasure be finding meaning and purpose? Could this treasure be restored relationship with God or with another person? Could this treasure be finding peace? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field and includes all these things: life in all its fullness, forgiveness and redemption, reconciliation that brings peace. I made a bit of a discovery as I was exploring this word treasure. The Greek word for treasure that Matthew uses here and elsewhere in the gospel is this word, thesaurus. We're more familiar with the Latin word thesaurus, derived from this Greek word. And we know a thesaurus as a treasury, as a storehouse, as a treasure chest of synonyms, of words that mean something like something else. So as we think about the kingdom of God being like treasure hidden in a field, what other words might we find that describe what this treasure is like? Perhaps something to ponder this week. The parable suggests that this treasure is worth giving up everything else in order to have it. And the amazing thing is that in giving up everything else, instead of feeling a sense of being bereft and experiencing great loss, the person in the parable feels only joy. I went digging for treasure by the Sea of Galilee back in 2013. We spent 2 weeks digging and sifting through dirt at the archaeological site of Bethsaida. It was really exciting to systematically search for buried treasure alongside others and celebrate with them when they unearth something precious, perhaps a Roman coin or bones or fragments of very early earthenware pots. Of course, we didn't get to keep the treasures that we unearthed. They were carefully notated and then passed on to the appropriate curators of antiquities in Israel. However, we did get to keep more common pieces, and to me, those pieces that I kept are treasures. Digging for archaeological treasure in Galilee was a chance to feel a physical connection with times long gone, including the few short years when Jesus walked and travelled through that part of the countryside. That from this out-of-the-way part of the world, Jesus' simple yet profound parables about the kingdom of heaven, that they have become some of the most told stories in human history is incredible. They have shaped our world significantly. Treasure, it matters. What I'd like to do now is to have a look at other places where Matthew speaks about treasure and to dig for some deeper meaning that might help to add insight to this parable. We know that Matthew is writing to an audience who's familiar with the Hebrew scriptures, and treasure was a familiar theme in the Old Testament. Old Testament treasure can be either a form of wealth, often concealed wealth, or something that is stored up or hoarded. The most frequently used Hebrew word for treasure means hidden wealth. Isn't that fascinating? Given the many stories that Jesus told about hidden treasure, about storing up treasure, and about hoarding at the expense of meeting the needs of the poor. But in the Old Testament, treasure is not represented as a bad thing. Rather, it is a good thing to pursue. So let's have a look at how Matthew uses the idea of treasure. The first mention, can anyone guess where it is? It's very early on. The first mention is actually in Jesus' infancy narrative. The Magi brought Jesus gifts which they offered from their treasure chests. They entered the house, saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These Gentile men with great learning and wisdom bought treasure chests filled with gifts that were appropriate to pay homage to this new king, this king like no other. And then in Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, we hear some familiar words. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Moths will eat away at them, rust will corrode it, thieves might break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. There's no moths there. There's no oxidation, I gather. Oxidization, it's going to stay intact. And no one's going to steal it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then in Matthew 12, Jesus is facing opposition from the religious leaders, and he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure, out of an evil thing that is stored away. And then in Matthew 19, we have another teaching section that happens just before Jesus prepares to enter Jerusalem. Someone comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you ask me about what's good? There is one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Which ones? "You shall not murder or commit adultery or steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as yourself. The young man says, well, I've kept all these, so what more do I need to do? Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Sadly, when the young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Which is in stark contrast to the person in today's parable who sold everything he had for the treasure buried in the field and only felt joy. Well, after the parable of treasure hidden in a field, we heard about the parable of the merchant in search of excellent pearls. It has a similar idea at its heart, and those two parables form a pair. And then came the parable of the large fishing net, cast into the sea to catch all kinds of fish. But patience was needed before separating the fish too quickly. It wasn't their job to do that. And so the meaning of that parable is very similar to the parable of the wheat and the weeds that Stuart unpacked for us last week. A mention of a fire and the weeping and gnashing of teeth is quite obscure, and it's possibly drawn from the apocryphal book of Daniel. But other than that, we don't know too much about really the meaning behind those phrases. After these parables about treasure, pearls, and fishing nets, Jesus asks his disciples, have you understood all this? I think Matthew has quite the sense of humour when he records the disciples' response. Yes. Yes, they say. We've learnt a lot about treasure in the context of the Old Testament and the way Jesus recontextualizes it in new ways when he tells a story about the kingdom of heaven. And this all helps us to understand why Jesus speaks about old and new when he says, everyone, every scribe who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new. This means that the new doesn't make the old useless. Rather, it refreshes the relevance of the old and preserves its value so that it can be appreciated in a new context. And then today's reading concludes by Jesus returning to his hometown, which we assume to be Nazareth. Jesus begins to teach in their synagogue. But just as the word church that we heard in the opening video means the gathering of people as much as it does the building in which they gather, likewise with synagogue. The synagogue was the assembly of the people gathered for worship. And so it may or may not have been in a building that they gathered. But the point is that as they gathered and Jesus is speaking to the people, it's clear that there's some kind of kinship between the people of Nazareth who rejected Jesus and those who are rejecting Jesus in Matthew's day. And then we also encounter the prejudice of familiarity. The prejudice of familiarity, I think, is still alive and well today. Perhaps this is a nudge to us to take time to reflect and ask ourselves, who do I take for granted? Who do I underestimate, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God? At our conversations at Five Group last Monday, somebody asked, what if, rather than simply being the teller of the parable, that Jesus becomes the parable? And I've been pondering that all week. What if embodied in Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection is the fulfillment of all the parables that he shared to show us what the kingdom of heaven is like? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure, like a merchant in search of fine pearls, like a net thrown into the sea catching fish of every kind. Jesus is the fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the treasure that brings joy. Jesus is the one who seeks out what is precious at all cost. Jesus is the one who gathers in all life. Jesus is the one who is the fulfillment of the scriptures, old and new. Jesus is the one who was full of wisdom and power, and yet overlooked and taken for granted by those who had become just a little bit too familiar with his presence in their lives. What would it mean for you to discover the treasure that you are a precious child of God? That God has not needed to come looking for you because you have never been hidden from God's sight, no matter how hidden God has felt from you. That all along, God has been willing to give everything that you might be found and that you might find your treasure, your true home, living and worshipping and serving in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Where are you looking for buried treasure? And what do you need to let go to find this treasure and embrace it with joy? Amen.